And hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is A Walk Through the Mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and go out and get the conversation started with friends, family, the people we meet on the street, or maybe we just get those gears turning in our own head and see where it takes us. So we're out there doing our due diligence. We're fighting the good fight, taking out everything that's a problem nowadays, stamping it down, doing our due diligence. And yet at the same time, I have to sit here and ask if, as we're sitting here swinging around, swinging this hammer, this bad hammer, stomping down bad speech, bad thoughts, evil doers, if not everything that we're seeing is a nail, because all we have is a hammer. We don't have a wrench to turn that bolt. We don't have an oxyacetylene torch to melt the bolt. But all of this kind of spans from a week ago, hearing a little bit of a news clip of the United States Vice President Kamala Harris talking at Hampton University about gun violence. Wasn't there just to talk about gun violence, but a valedictorian student stood up and decided to ask her that question.
Gun violence is one of the most controversial and emotional issues in many cities and college campuses across the country. And with the debate often centering on whether regulations on an individual's rights to arms are an undue restriction on liberty, what can the government do to restrict access to certain guns, as well as implementing gun laws for America?
They can have courage, Mr. Hampton. They can have courage.
Courage!
So here's the thing. I'd like to ask for a show of hands. How many of you, starting in elementary school or after, had to have drills in schools around active shooters? I'd ask the adults, the older adults in the room, to take a look at that. Because I think that the people who are currently in elected office, who have the power to make decisions about this, don't understand what y'all have been through. They don't get it. They don't get the fact. And that's why I can't wait for you to continue in your role of leadership. Because when you all start voting in your numbers, this is gonna change. They don't understand that on the first day of school, as young as elementary school, that our children, when learning the name of their teacher and that's where the bathroom are learning how to quietly hide if there's an active shooter in their school. I've had young people, students in junior high, younger, say to me, when on this issue, I don't really like going to fifth period. Why, sweetheart? Because there's no closet in that classroom. That's real. So while our children are supposed to be in class, being fed with information that opens up their minds to the wonders of the world, half of their mind is worried about whether someone might come busting in the door, threatening their life. This is a very real issue. On this issue also, I would say, Mr. Hampton, there is a false choice that is being attempted to be sold, which suggests you're either in favor of the Second Amendment or you want to take everyone's guns away. That's a false choice. I believe in the Second Amendment. I also believe we need an assault weapons ban. We need background checks. We need red flag laws.
Now, call me old-fashioned. Probably am. I was in elementary school and middle school and even high school before the Columbine shooting. Maybe not high school. But either way, I grew up having to do tornado drills and fire drills. Definitely did not have to do active shooter drills, because it wasn't something that was prominent. But neither was nuclear blast drills. Maybe we had to enact those once or twice. Maybe that was just, I'm confusing that with the tornado drills, which doesn't make sense. But it's almost like trauma-based entertainment, kind of making people feel like hypochondriacs, that everybody's out there to get them. Everybody's out there to kill them. And that's not to say that gun violence is not an issue. Absolutely it is an issue. We don't want people getting shot over silly things, over stupidness. Again, one of the things that I recollect from being a kid growing up is learning that there were people willing to shoot people over the shoes that they're wearing or the jacket that they're wearing. And I can't tell if the image in my mind is something that's just made up, something that's been developed over the years of just kind of recollecting the silliness of it. Or if it was an actual political cartoon where there was a picture of someone being shot, wearing a jacket, specific poofy jacket, and willing to walk around with it with holes in it, just because it was specific kind of jacket. Never been put in that situation, thankfully. But again, everything's a hammer, or everything's a nail when all you have is a hammer. Or maybe you're the nail, and everybody is out to get you. Being trained, being taught, we should be prepared. We should understand that there's crazies out there. We have had a drastic increase in the population. We've had a drastic increase in the use of SSRIs since I've been growing up and then given to kids. We've had the discussion of giving hormones to kids and changing the chemical balances within the brain. Let's not talk about whatever's going on with the food that might have some kind of balance with whatever equilibrium we're looking at within our brain. But I found it absurd. Again, sitting there, we're trying to take all the guns away, trying to make it so that way we've got those red flag laws. I lived in Washington. I've seen some of the laws that they passed. One of the ones that if you're even at a gun range and you let someone fire a handful of rounds off from your gun, you're sitting there, you're standing there, they're at the gun range, they're shooting their gun. They seem to be well-practiced, well-behaved in their manner of controlling a firearm, so you let them shoot theirs, shoot yours. Well, now you're a felon. Maybe it was only a misdemeanor, but not doing a thorough background check on that individual made you a criminal. You could get arrested. Minimal enforcement, practically none as far as I understand, but the law was there. Another law that's comes to mind from Washington State is even if your gun is locked up, it should be locked up, or, you know, you do you. But if your gun is stolen, you got it in just a little quick access safe that you kind of got tied to the underneath the bed or something, or, you know, back behind a painting. And the criminal comes in, he's got bolt cutters, steals your little tiny quick access safe, so that way you can be compliant, because in Washington State, you have to keep your gun locked up. Unloaded or loaded, has to be locked up. But if that criminal then uses that gun in a crime, and that gun is recovered, you, the original owner, are in trouble. Seems kind of back-ass words to me. Maybe you should have had it more secured. Three layers of security, even include a gun lock on it. Or those red flag laws. Now, there is something to be said for being concerned of an individual. And maybe they are posing a threat to the greater society, the greater community. Should do something about that. But at the same time, is there a chance for that to be abused? Maybe a scorned lover? Maybe just someone trying to play the legal game? Whatever silly BS there is? Maybe they're doing something along the lines of swatting an individual where they call in some terrible act of violence going on at your home and the police come in with the SWAT team and just light the place up and then they go, well, I guess there was nothing wrong here. Have a nice day. Our bad. I guess my attitude towards this has become a little skewed, seeing as I've been watching a show, National Geographic show, called To Catch a Smuggler. And there's a lot of bad guys out there. There's a lot of terrible things being smuggled over the border. But everybody's a criminal, even though everybody's innocent until proven guilty. Everybody does something just a little bit off. Nobody likes talking. Not nobody. There's people out there that just do not like talking to the police officers because they think everybody's a suspect. Everybody is smuggling drugs or smuggling weapons or exceeding the $10,000 cash coming over the border. And so any little offstep, you get bonus questioning. Or things go through the x-ray, and so they have to disassemble or take out the drill and drill out certain parts of furniture or drums just to say, oh, I guess there's nothing there. Go ahead and send it on its way. You can't be too careful. Some aspects, yes. Other aspects, no, but with the blatant disregard that I see in that show, wish I brought clips of that, but it's more visual than the look in their face. But we're out to fix everything. President Biden, won't you tell us what's going on now?
We push for Congress to do more. We're going to centralize, accelerate, and intensify our work to save more lives more quickly. That's why this new White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention is what it's designed to do. It will drive and coordinate a government and a nationwide effort to reduce gun violence in America. And it will be overseen by an incredible vice president who understands this more than any vice president has. No, really.
That's not a joke, man.
That's a fact. She's been on the front lines of this her entire career as a prosecutor, as an attorney general, and as a United States senator. Her deep experience will be invaluable for this office. And Steph, where's Steph Feldman? Steph, I want you to stand up, please. Steph Feldman. You've been working on this issue with me since Sandy Hook in 2012. Now, she was 13 years old when she joined me, but since 2012, will serve as director of the office. The office will have four primary responsibilities. First, to expedite the implementation of the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act and the executive actions already announced. And I mean it. We're going to fully implement them. Second, coordinate more support for survivors, families, and communities affected by gun violence, including mental health care, financial assistance, the same way FEMA responds to natural disasters. Same way. And helps folks recover and rebuild and alter. Look, folks, shootings are the ultimate superstorm, ripping through communities. Third, identify new executive actions we can take within our legal authority to reduce gun violence. And fourth, expand our coalition of partners in states and cities across America, because we do have partners to get more. We need more state and local help to get these laws passed locally as well, and to strengthen our laws and give us more hope. Folks, to be clear, none of these steps alone is going to solve the entirety of the gun violence epidemic. None of them. But together, they will save lives. And it's going to help.
So VP Biden going to be the overseer with the lady from the Sandy Hook school shooting survivor going to actually be running the show. And that's tragic. It is a tragic situation. No one wants to see their kid dead. Kind of annoying, though, that, you know, the Columbine School is still standing. Sandy Hook was torn down almost immediately, and I guess they're finally getting around to considering to tear down the Parkland School. You know, eventually, finally getting around to it because it kind of takes up too much bad memories, bad juju. But we're out there to take it all down, stop it all, teaming up with city people and state people when trying to look up gun violence statistics. Chicago's nice and easy. They kind of make it simple. There's a link in the show notes. Chicago Tribune, thank you very much, people, for giving me a map and the age range, age 0 to 1978 this year so far through the 21st of September, 2023. 20 to 29, 131. 30 to 39, 126. 40 to 49, 70, this less than fortunate town. But the rate, ethnicity of the Chicago homicide victims so far in 2023, 364 of them were black, 17 were white, 65 were white Hispanic. White Hispanic. There's one black Hispanic. I'm dumbfounded. Most of them men, 386 are male, 65 female. And just kind of, it's out there. Chicago's kind of the butt of all jokes when we look at gun control laws. Guns are super illegal in Chicago, and yet they get lots of targeting for them being just blatantly shot up. But then we can dig through another fancy website, Money Inc., letting us know what the worst gang cities in the United States are. Because I figured that would be an easy way to kind of follow up on cities that might have a whole bunch of gun violence on things that we're going to tackle. 20, Hartford, Connecticut. 19, Cleveland, Ohio. 18, Birmingham, Alabama. 17, Rochester, New York. 16, Little Rock, Arkansas. 15, Baltimore, Maryland. 14, Kansas City, Missouri. 13, Philadelphia, PA. 12, Albuquerque, New Mexico. 11, St. Louis, Missouri. 10, New York. Number 9, Stockton, California. Number 8, Buffalo, New York. Number 7, Memphis, Tennessee. Number 6, Washington, D.C. Number 5, Oakland, California. Number 4, San Bernardino, California. Number 3, Atlanta, Georgia. Number 2, Detroit, Michigan. Number 1, Los Angeles, California. All using 2022 statistics. Kind of funny, Chicago's not in there, in any of that list. I did notice a few California cities and a couple New York cities, places that also have significant gun restrictions going on. Other places are definitely not in the most fiscally prominent situation, which definitely does not help with the gang situation. But again, this was out there to search for that gun violence situation. And trying to dig up numbers for any of the California deals made it not as easy as the Chicago Tribune. Why does the Chicago Tribune offer such an easy look at the violence numbers? I mean, we can go through and search through certain things of climate change and find out how bad that is on all sorts of different levels. But yet when we want to start looking into city specifics, unless we really know the interlay of the land, unless we know the best places to look without simple searches online, because we're doing a quick and easy podcast, the numbers are skewed and hidden. But again, we're out there to fix everything, make it right. Again, tying that into the climate change situation where we've pushed so many people globally to tie things up, make things better, even so far as to try and push Israel to double down on their green energy situation. And listening to an interview with an Israeli physicist, Yonatan Dubi, having his problems with getting solar up and going in Israel, a place that's, to the best of my knowledge, kind of in the middle of a desert. I know he said there's like 280 days of sun. Sounds like a great place. But it's not cost effective for what needs to happen in such a certain period of time because we're smacking everything down. We're beating it down. We're making sure that we're going to fix everything from guns to climate.
So no government is willing to sign a law that will increase the electricity bills by a factor of 1.5 or by a factor of 2. Or by a factor of 3, we don't know. Because, as I said, these are very high subsidies.
Right.
So they could not pass it. And now in this current government, current administration, they tried to pass a climate act. And this climate act was really even worse than the climate act of the left-wing government that was prior to that. Because they were talking about 50% renewables in 20 years, you know, things which are just, you know, simply engineeringly cannot be done. And it did not put a cap on how much spending would this require, and gave, for example, complete control of every large infrastructure project in Israel to the Israeli EPA, Environmental Protection Agency.
Right.
So these are things which are politically dangerous because it means that every infrastructure project, everything will be first and foremost be looked at from the lens of, is it costing us additional carbon dioxide emissions?
Right.
Now, of course, everything costs carbon dioxide emissions, right? That's the almost law of current existence.
To put a pause on here real quick. If guns are available anywhere, government or citizen, there will be gun violence. It's just the nature of the beast. If there is climate or if there is energy production of any sort, there is carbon production.
Sure.
So when you look at everything through that lens, you're going to slow down every process. And by extension, you're going to slow down the economy. Everything will cost more. Everything will take longer. It's just a bad idea. And
would empower a bureaucracy rather than the legislature to enact the rules, which is, I think is also very dangerous. But that's
exactly. Thing. And I mean, and we pointed out that if you state by law that the government must reduce carbon emissions to, I don't know, 50%, 20 years from now, people can sue the government for not achieving this goal, right? Wow. Through the Supreme Court.
Funny, Gavin Newsom has made news lately about him trying to sue big oil. It's only a matter of time until we sue the government for not doing their job, clamping down on these big polluters. of carbon, nothing else.
Now, you cannot achieve this goal.
Yeah.
Physically, you cannot achieve this goal. No one has. And so it's a dangerous opening for a bad administration, you know, bureaucrats taking over every decision the government wants to do by looking through the lens of the environment and CO2 emissions, something like that. So it was a really bad law. It was pushed very hard by the Biden administration, and it's still being pushed. And we stopped the first round of votes, literally, by using political influence that the Israeli Forum for National Environmentalism has inside the Likud parties and other parties. The Minister for Environment Protection received something like 50,000 text messages.
People contacted their representative.
Something like that, some ridiculous number, I don't know.
Right.
And it was withdrawn from the table, but it will come back.
Uh-huh.
It will come back in some way or some form or another. I don't know what will happen, but I think that the Biden administration is strongly pushing for a climate act.
Got to fix the climate. Got to fix it all. Again, we can have that conversation of pollution and situations. We can have the conversation of gun violence being bad. We don't want kids being shot. We don't want old people or anybody being shot. There's a time and a place to have a weapon, and letting the bureaucrats, letting the people, the government in charge, controlling every little aspect of our lives, making sure that we're going to protect everybody. Again, you're not required to own a gun. Israel, you're required to join the military at age 18, do somewhere between 2 and 4 years of service. Everybody knows how to use a weapon. But then again, they're kind of centrally located in a hostile territory. I guess you got to worry about those neighbors kind of taking over. Foreign governments coming in. I guess that's the kind of argument we're making for Ukraine going on. Give them all the F-16s and the tanks and somehow skirt around the NATO rules of Article 5. It all works out because we're fixing everything. Everything's a nail. We're knocking it down, beating it down, securing it all. Is there another way to have this conversation, though? When we look back at what Kamala Harris had to say just a little while ago in regards to these children growing up in these schoolrooms, worried about there's no closet. We don't know if that kid that we picked on in second period is actually going to come through and shoot us up in fifth period. Or maybe someone's brain just goes on the fritz. We got to be worried about that. Or maybe Gavin Newsom's suit against big oil isn't going to fix everything. And we're going to die of climate change. Let us bring in a guest again, a digital guest from last week, Professor Jessica Winkle, University of North Carolina, talking about some of her students and how they view climate change.
It's a problem. It's a problem because I see it in my students where a lot of their current understanding of our disasters is that it's linked to climate change. It's their disasters because of climate change. And the everything climate change narrative has captured so much that rarely, if ever, do I have a student that can deal with an issue that addresses a topic and doesn't try to rope in the climate change.
It's all climate change. It's all gun violence. Guns don't kill people. Monkeys with guns kill people. That's an Eddie Izzard joke talking about Planet of the Apes and how the monkeys evolve and get guns and they start killing everybody. It's the guns that are the problem, not the monkeys. Not the highly evolved monkeys with the cages and the dog catcher ropes wrangling up those humans, putting them in cages, preventing them from gathering together, learning how to talk, learning how to rebel, learning how to support themselves. Can't have any of that. But oh, this political speech with no direct ending, no way to prove one way or the other that guns are the problem, climate's the problem, Maybe I'm so jaded by the absurdity of it all that I somehow block it all out and I refuse to look at the statistics, look at reason. But I hope that's not the case. It's not why I'm here. You're able to take my talking points, use them against me, or stand, I guess, alongside me. You don't have to stand beside me. Find a way to twist my arguments, throw them back in my face, and say, "Hey, Billy Bones." And I'll say, "Hey, that's me. B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. And you'll be able to get in contact with me at Twitter, otherwise known as X, until they kick me off of there or block me because I won't pay them, at Billy Bones, or on the Fediverse at BillyBones at NoAgendaSocial.com. Go there, send a short tweet, maybe a little toot. Say hey, or maybe you see I post the show, maybe you have a good link to share. Send that there. But if you don't want to go through social media, you want to go the old-fashioned way, you want to go check out the website, got one of those, BillyBones.com. Remember, that is spelt with the number 3 instead of the letter E. There's a link for email, and there's a link to show notes, a handful in today. There's a link for Tabletop Woodworks in case you need a little tangible value for the value that I offer, because this is a value-for-value podcast. I release this show free of charge, no paywalls, no creepy corporate advertisers, no bonus content through Patreon, whatever it is. It's just you and me. And because this is a value-for-value podcast, the first thing I ask that you do, if you found value in this show, be it the single episode or the entire catalog, I ask that you give this show a share. Maybe someone else finds a talking point, gets the gears turning in their head. But if you feel that I've earned a monetary value, be that the U.S. dollar or Satoshis, teeny tiny bits of Bitcoin, I take both. It's fantastic. It's a good way to be. And today, the main executive producer is Sir Sean of the Allegheny Valley, sending in his monthly $15 donation. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much for your support. Paying these bills, keeping the microphone humming, keeping the lights on, keeping it so I can listen to podcasts. Or the Bitcoin situation. Again, if you're using a new podcast app, something that is enabled through the Podcasting 2.0 compliant infrastructure, you can check those out at podcastapps.com. Newer, fancier shows do chapters and show notes or bonus show notes, have pictures that change through. Or again, certain ones can boost, send messages, or stream Satoshis, again, those teeny tiny bits of Bitcoin, while they listen to help support the show. And the big hitter today is none other than Sir Sean of the Allegheny Valley, streaming the total of 5,422 Satoshis to me last episode. Thank you, sir. Again. But we also again have Kyle of the Pocket Parlay and Light Tickle Podcast. Check those podcasts out. He streamed in a total of 1,805 Satoshis. It's all good. I appreciate it. Everybody did it. I'd have a lot of Satoshis. It'd be fun. But I'd like to thank you very much for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you got something useful out of all this grand conversation. And I will talk to you all next week. Love you guys.